this truth of the head. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob in your life.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob in your life. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church, and I'm also a spokesman for Colorado Right to Life. And the office manager there, Donna, called me earlier today and said that there's a Christian news outlet, the American Family Association's news network. In fact, they're on scores of radio stations around the country. They would like a comment about the euthanasia bill that will be on the Colorado ballot this November, tragically. Should we kill unborn children? Sure. Should we kill children who are handicapped? Well, Denver's Children's Hospital Board said sure, and they starved to death a little boy, Dylan Walborn. It took 21 days for him to die. They gave him liquids, but they stopped feeding him. He was not dying. He was handicapped. And you could find out about Dylan at dylanwalborn.com. But now in November, should we kill those who are given less than 6 months to live? And never fear, it has to be two physicians that agree to the decision to help euthanize the person. And that reminds me of the Germans, the Nazis. In Germany, they required, I think they required three physicians to determine whether you have to euthanize someone. And, you know, it's voluntary. Oh, then it's not voluntary. Like little Dylan Walborn from Denver's Children's Hospital, it wasn't voluntary to kill him. And yet the Denver Post did this lengthy article documenting day after day of Dylan dying, being killed, being starved to death. And the entire media, Governor Dick Lamb, everybody, they all just ate it up, loved it. It's all fine. Nobody objected except for a handful of pro-life, pro-personhood Christian activists. So at any rate, I'm thrilled that, it's Charlie who's going to call in? All right. And so here's what we suggested, that Charlie call us at 5 after 3 or 10 after 3, around there. And so, you know, we'll kill two birds with one stone. When he calls in, I'll just take his call on the air. And then then you could hear the interview also. I've probably done, I don't know, half a dozen, 8 or 10 interviews with Charlie over the last few years to air on the American Family Association's One News Now network. So it'll go on their internet and it'll go broadcast through their radio stations, and that'll be just great. Then also, I want to share with you an email from Jerry. He is one of the listeners who tunes in through, you know, the internet and the streaming service of Bob and Yurt Live on kgov.com and KLTT. And he also listens to the downloads, the podcast. But he sent an email remembering a quote from Bob and Yurt Live back in the 1990s on TV. And it was this. He said, "Bob, I remember you saying that Christianity and homosexuality are mutually exclusive. They cannot coexist in the public square." And he said, "It might be time to mention that again," because, and then he linked to an article from a Baptist ethicist. And this Baptist ethicist, right, a Baptist, who's outwardly Christian, not really Christian, but outwardly, and an ethicist, that means he's an expert on right and wrong. He's been a columnist at Christianity Today and other formerly conservative Christian outlets. And he basically issued a warning, a threat to Christians, saying that neutrality regarding just neutrality, forget about us, at Denver Bible Church and at Bob and Yurt Live, we openly oppose homosexuality. We're not neutral, but a lot of Christians are trying to go below the radar, which, by the way, never works. And like in Germany, Christians who thought, well, for our church to survive, pretty much like the Catholic Church, we have to have a low profile and not openly and forcefully oppose the hatred of the Jews in Germany. Now, I know that the Roman Catholic Church defends what they did during the years in Germany with the National Socialist ruling and the years leading up to that. But the people who really saved the Jews, like Corrie Ten Boom, The Hiding Place, and, you know, the many, if you go to Israel and Yad Vashem, their Holocaust Memorial Museum, they have their Avenue of the Righteous, where there were Gentiles who did so much, even sacrificing themselves, potentially, to save the Jews. And those who sacrificed, even risked their own lives to save the Jews, from what I could tell, like with Schindler, for example, they would say, I should have done more. I did almost nothing. I did almost nothing. I should have done more. Whereas those who did almost nothing, they say, we did as much as we could have done. So when you try to go under the radar, right, so that you're doing almost nothing to oppose the wickedness, it will backfire. And the wickedness will come right into your church. And it will come right into your home. Probably right into your very life. Even potentially right into your heart and soul. The wickedness, the darkness. So this Baptist ethicist is now basically in this article threatening Christians, biblical Christians, saying neutrality on homosexuality is not an option. How's that? We oppose homosexuality. He's saying even neutrality is not an option. And focus on the family. You know, they've been trying for a long time to go neutral. Like when they advocated civil unions for homosexuals in the law about 8 years ago. And we warned the body of Christ that focus on the family. Even though they love the Lord, they cannot be trusted because they've lost their way. And so this homosexual ethicist, Baptist, his name is Gushy. He says, neutrality on homosexuality is not an option. Neither is polite half acceptance, nor is avoiding the subject. Hide as you might, the issue will come and find you. And that's true. So I appreciate Jerry forwarding this to us in an article warning us about this. We have been warned at the American Conservative. Okay, the phone ringing. I can see it ringing. We've got, let me know if that is Charlie from the American Family Association, and just put him right through, all right? Okay. So, okay, we got him. All right. Hey, Charlie, Bob Enyart.
Oh, yes, good. All right, we are recording. Go ahead and give me your name and how you want to be introduced.
Okay, I am Bob Enyart, E-N-Y-A-R-T, spokesman for Colorado Right to Life.
All right. That sounds good, yes. It's going to be on the ballot.
Okay.
Why don't you just give us a statement about that?
Yes. Colorado's ballot initiative, Medical Aid in Dying, it violates God's command in Exodus 23:7, which states, do not kill the innocent. Yet God also warned through the prophet Ezekiel, do not profane me by killing people who should not die and keeping people alive who should not live. So it's not surprising that virtually all the secular groups that oppose the death penalty, which would execute the guilty, those same groups also advocate killing the innocent, whether the unborn child or the infirm. Liberals generally, in fact, support protecting the guilty and killing the innocent.
All right. So, what's kind of the attitude that you perceive among Coloradans about this?
Colorado is a liberal state, which means that it is in rebellion against God. And so because of that, whatever opportunity to express that rebellion, whether by getting high on marijuana or killing unborn children or killing those who are ill, infirm, and dying, Colorado tends to celebrate wickedness. So this is a tragedy, but Christians need to do all we can to educate the public and our neighbors that there is a God, and God has told us, do not kill the innocent. Suicide is destabilizing. Like with 9/11 and suicide bombers, when you remove the intense stigma that's always existed against suicide, then many people more readily include suicide among their options. And that includes teenagers, weak-minded people, murder-suicide criminals, and suicide-by-cop attempts, and even kamikazes, and today, Islamic suicide bombers. Suicide is inherently destabilizing, and it's promoted by those who don't know right from wrong. I've got a couple other things to share, Charlie, if that's okay?
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, that's fine.
It's not wrong to die. It is wrong to kill someone. The more wicked someone is, the more compassionate they make euthanasia appear. I'll give you an example. One of the most beautifully crafted pro-suicide movies ever produced was the award-winning film I Accuse. A husband tried in every way to help his ailing wife recover, but when all hope was lost, then he lovingly gave her a poison she used to kill herself. Well, that film, I Accuse, was produced by the Nazis. It premiered in Berlin and Rome. It was praised by the Axis powers. It was released during World War II, and some of the cast and crew of the film eventually were tried at Nuremberg for crimes against humanity because of their role in the Nazi euthanasia program, which killed tens of thousands of Germans. So when people give these heart-wrenching accounts of why we should all support euthanasia and suicide, we have to remember that it's easy to present wickedness as though it were good, and we have to believe God rather than man.
And the biggest thing that they can do is to show up at the polls themselves.
Okay. So Colorado Right to Life is urging Christians to go to the polls in November to vote against this horrific euthanasia bill.
Okay. That gives me plenty to work with.
Charlie, thank you so much. You're probably too busy, but if you shoot us an email about when that might air, we'll send that out to our whole list of thousands of people.
That sounds great.
So, okay, sir, thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right,
bye-bye
God bless.
Now. Bye.
All right, so let's hope that some chunks of that will air. We'll find out. It's a wonderful opportunity always. The American Family Association is strongly Christian, unabashedly Christian, and they promote a biblical worldview. And so, for example, while so many groups like Focus on the Family and National Right to Life and the USCCB, the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, while they opposed personhood, advocating for laws that affirm that the baby is a person who has a right to life, they actually opposed that. The American Family Association joined the other groups of pro-life organizations that have for years now supported personhood. So, you know, people wonder what happened to personhood. Well, it's very difficult to continue. We've gotten on the ballot three times so far in Colorado. Lord willing, we'll be on the ballot again. But it's very difficult when all the big money quasi-pro-life organizations oppose personhood and all the lies that they tell about personhood, how bad it would be to advocate for the government to recognize that the baby is a person. How bad that would be, how it would backfire, how destructive it would be. And instead, they take a compromised approach they've taken for 35 years now, no, for 45 years now. And how has that worked out for them? How is the moral foundation of the American culture and our American institutions and our American government? How is it, after we've had thousands of so-called Christian leaders teaching believers you need to support politicians who kill the innocent because that's the only way we're going to save our country? Just hold your nose and vote for politicians who kill the innocent. Oh, and by the way, oppose any law and oppose any politician who's so extreme that he doesn't advocate killing some children because, you know, those politicians don't have a chance of winning. And so how has all that compromise worked out for them? Isn't, you know, the shining star that America is becoming, is it's just around the corner. It's just over the horizon. Everything's getting so wonderful by the strategy, the pro-life strategy of Focus on the Family, National Right to Life, the USCCB, Eagle Forum, Concerned Women for America, Priests for Life. Just name them all. Name all the big money groups, and you've got all the ones who advocate lying about Republican politicians who advocate killing children, lying about them and saying they've got a 100% pro-life rating when they advocate killing thousands and even tens of thousands or more unborn children. So anyway, Charlie has been a faithful brother in the Lord at AFA really for many years. I bet you the first time I did an interview with him is maybe 15 years ago. And he's all business, isn't he? He's just all business. You just give him your statement, and he, you know, edits it, chops it up, and inserts it where he needs to in his programming. So, okay, now, by the way, the suicide issue. I had the opportunity to oppose Colorado's proposed euthanasia law in a panel discussion at Denver University that included former Governor Dick Lamb. And, you know, I asked God to help me to do my best to warn those in attendance that killing the innocent is immoral, and the people who advocate it are in rebellion against God, and they will bring about destruction. As it's already done, right? 9/11, and in World War II, the kamikazes. And all the murder-suicides, we have murder-suicide epidemic and suicide-by-cop epidemic, like Michael Brown and so many others, Milwaukee and elsewhere. And so when suicide is normalized, when the intense public stigma against suicide is removed, well, then what happens is many more people will, when they think about their problems, the things they don't like in their life, they'll include suicide in their bag of tools. So that in Japan, during World War II, the problem was the Americans. So they promoted a worldview that you would kill yourself in the battle against those who would deny Imperial Japan their rightful supremacy. So you kill yourself and you will be glorified. And the same thing today with, of course, Islamic terror and the jihadis today. You kill yourself and you'll be praised by Allah and you'll have 72 virgins in the afterlife. You know, forget about the virgins. I mean, for them, it's like being in hell, right? So the jihadi gets 72 virgins in paradise, but for the 72 virgins, they're in hell. The few female suicide bombers there have been, people have asked, what do they get? What do the women Islamic suicide bombers get? And the answer that we did the research here at Bob and Yurt Live, as far as I know, we were the first to publicly reveal what the female suicide bombers get. They get to opt out of being one of the 72. That's what they get. That's their reward. So paradise for the terrorist and hell for the woman, which is typical in the Islamic world at any rate. So suicide is immoral. Assisted suicide, it's of course homicide, but it's criminal homicide. It's murder. It is unlawfully putting someone to death. It is not wrong to die if you are sick and dying. It is wrong to kill someone who is dying. It's wrong to kill them. And of course, like I said earlier, Dylan Walborn, little boy, he wasn't dying. He wasn't dying. He was handicapped. And nobody in the culture gave a rip that he was starved to death. In fact, for the most part, all of the media, everybody is fine with it. And when you bring it up, I brought it up to Dick Lamb, and they couldn't care less that Denver's Children's Hospital euthanized little Dylan Walborn. What was he, 5 years old? DylanWalborn.com. So, and the point I made, when you look at the campaign now to pass this euthanasia law, there's a national group, a euthanasia group called Compassion and Choices, and they have helped to pass euthanasia legislation in other states. And so they're now here lobbying the lawmakers and promoting the bill. And so it's real easy to make wickedness look compassionate. And the perfect example of that is that during World War II, the propagandist in Germany, the National Socialist Propaganda Ministry, the Nazi propaganda machine, made a film to promote how loving and compassionate is euthanasia. And you know, the Nazis, they were really good at recognizing love and compassion, weren't they? Wasn't that one of their strengths? Like Planned Parenthood, that's one of their strengths. Compassion for women and children. And we dismember their children to show how compassionate we are. And here in Colorado, from Dick Lamb on down, Dick Lamb is the one who introduced our state's abortion bill when he was a state representative. So he wasn't the governor. He didn't sign the bill that decriminalized child killing in Colorado back in 1967. He was the state representative who introduced the bill, and the governor who signed it into law, just like in California when it was a Republican. In California, it was Ronald Reagan. Here in Colorado, it was a Republican, Governor Love, John Love. What a great name, huh? For the Republican who decriminalized child killing in our country. So the more wicked someone is, the more compassionate they make euthanasia appear. So we need to remember that. You know, Belgium, they've had euthanasia for a long time. And just like our law, you know, it has to be it has to be willful. You can't be euthanized against your will. Well, in Belgium, nearly half of the nurses there who perform euthanasia, a lot of them, they admit to ending a patient's life without consent, more than half of them. And the elderly, one of the great fears of the elderly in Northern Europe is that they're going to be euthanized. So now I want to go to this email from Jerry from Mishawaka, Indiana. And, you know, there's this Baptist ethicist who has written a column who just out this week. And this column, it's thanks. Thank you, Jerry, if you're listening, for alerting us to this. And Jerry found out about it from the American conservative. Rod Dreher over there wrote an article, "We Have Been Warned." And "We Have Been Warned" is about this Baptist ethicist who is warning us that, look, it turns out that you are either for full, this is what this Christian, allegedly Christian, so-called Christian ethicist wrote this week, okay? He wrote this, quote, "It turns out that you are either for full and unequivocal social and legal equality for homosexuals, or you are against it. And your answer will at some point be revealed. This is true both for individuals and for institutions. Neutrality is not an option. Neither is polite half acceptance, nor is avoiding the subject. Hide as you might, the issue will come and find you out. And that is the reality that Focus on the Family has been ignorant of for 20 years. Back when Focus on the Family was campaigning for a law in Colorado called Amendment 2, and their advertising was equal rights for homosexuals. Equal rights for homosexuals, just not special rights, but equal rights for homosexuals. And we did everything we could to reach Focus on the Family back when James Dobson was with them and warned them that homosexuality and Christianity are mutually exclusive in the public square. One or the other will be forced into the closet. Homosexuality is not only immoral, it's not only a sin, it's also criminal. And when you decriminalize homosexuality, you criminalize Christianity. But Focus on the Family was far too politically correct to even give an ear. So this New York Times columnist, he's a homosexual, Frank Bruni, he quoted this particular Baptist ethicist and saying that conservative Christians are the final bulwark against acceptance of homosexual rights. And it's funny, this Baptist ethicist, not only does he have bad morals, he also has a bad vocabulary. Because David Gushee, he was quoted in the New York Times saying that conservative Christians are the last bulwark against homosexual rights. And what he meant, a bulwark is a good thing, right? It's a defensive wall against some kind of threat. But what he meant to say was Christians are the last hurdle, the last impediment to homosexual rights. That's what he meant to say, but he doesn't know right from wrong. He doesn't know how to talk. But, hey, God bless you guys.